Well, let's discuss the types of therapies that have been historically used for atopic dermatitis in patients of all ages and discuss some newer treatments along with those in development. I'd be happy to start the conversation and talk a little bit about some of the topical treatments and some of the guidelines that have recently been published. The yardstick guidelines are something that I would certainly recommend. It's a wonderful set of guidelines that's come out just this year that talks about basically a ladder approach to the way that we treat based on severity. Obviously, topical corticosteroids have long been our first-line treatment, but on top of that is the basic management, the skin care, with moisturizing, particularly important after bathing, and then, of course, trigger avoidance in trying to keep these patients away from what might be common irritants like soaps and wool and temperature extremes or proven allergens if indeed an allergen has been determined to be a trigger in that individual. When we have mild disease or mild to moderate disease, we are adding on top of this generally some use of mild topical corticosteroids, and that may be sufficient. And in these individuals, we really don't worry much about toxicity at all because they're not using the stronger steroids. They're not really using anything that's going to lead to the most common side effect, which is local thinning of the skin. We have for patients who have mild to moderate disease, some alternative topical agents that are not steroids. For example, for almost 20 years now, we've had topical calcineurin inhibitors. We've had pimecrolimus recommended for mild to moderate. We've had tacrolimus, which can be really used for any severity, but was tested for moderate to severe. And more recently, we've had the first of the phosphodiesterase 4 inhibitors approved in 2016 called crisaborole, and that has built upon the long recognized increase in phosphodiesterase 4, which is known when increased to encourage through a cyclic AMP pathway the increase in inflammatory disease mediators. Very important, I would add, for the first visit is to talk about phobias, because we know as physicians that our patients, when one prescribes medication in a safe manner, are not going to get into trouble, even with thinning of skin. However, patients read the newspaper, they listen to the internet, they listen sometimes to primary care doctors who don't have as much experience as we do with the use of topical corticosteroids, and they're terrified, they're phobic about the use of topical steroids. And so they may use what you're telling them to use. I would say that as we go to moderate to severe disease, that's where we start to get more challenges in our treatment. Of course, we still want to build on basic management, but then we tend to use stronger topical corticosteroids, moving into the moderate and potent topical corticosteroids, and using our non-steroidal agents such as the topical calcineurin inhibitors and perhaps more recently crisaborole to try to help with maintenance of control while we decrease the requirement for the use of moderate to potent topical corticosteroids. One more recently used technique is what's called proactive management, in which one starts by treating twice daily with a moderate agent, generally a topical corticosteroid, but could be a stronger topical calcineurin inhibitor like tacrolimus, gets the disease under control after perhaps a week or two, or sometimes as long as 4 weeks, and then is able to dial down to once daily, and ultimately staying with 2 to 3 times weekly application of this moderately or sometimes potently active topical corticosteroid, but by only using it once daily, 2 to 3 times a week on areas that may look clear or almost clear, but would recurrently become active if not used, one is then able to keep the disease in more even control without as many flares and then reactively treating. It's been shown that there is overall less topical corticosteroid used with this proactive approach, and more recent studies have also shown that there's less of a potential adverse effect on the barrier.
So I think this is a key point, that this, for the sort of when we think about step-up therapy, so the maintenance therapy, what do you need to control atopic dermatitis? Everyone needs good skin care, and that skin care is good moisturizers, moisturizing right after a bath or a shower, not using a drying soap, avoiding the trigger for maintenance therapy, whether it's a topical calcineurin inhibitor, a topical steroid, similar to for the folks in the allergy world, which we have done for years, is putting someone on maintenance asthma medicines or maintenance nasal steroids to control their allergic rhinitis. It's the same idea in atopic dermatitis, is using these maintenance therapies to control that baseline inflammation. And it's, even though you, and this is one of the big things parents worry about, that, oh my God, I'm using this medicine twice a week, am I going to use more medicine? And you can reassure them that you actually end up using less medication by being on top of it and controlling it before it flares. You end up, and it's an important thing to realize, that you get much better control by being more aggressive.